Hello, and welcome to the very first Trinity Senior Management Insiders Podcast. My name is John Gonzalez, and I will be your host. I want to thank you for listening, and more importantly, for being a part of the industry that takes care of our nation's seniors. Our goal with this podcast is to reach as many senior living insiders, veterans of this industry, who are interested in joining with us to disruptively innovate the traditional model of senior living. We must change in order to meet the challenges we face today and tomorrow. And be assured, if we cannot affect change from the inside out, change will surely be foisted upon us from the outside. So, today, I am thrilled to have with us for our inaugural guest, Catherine Owens. Catherine is an award-winning author and a nationally recognized senior living expert in sales coaching and training. She is a consultant, and her expertise includes business and staff development. Catherine is also a keynote speaker, and I recently found out she is an excellent judge of Cabernet wine and fine Cuban cigars. Catherine, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here. You forgot to mention that I do love walks on the beach.
Short or long? Does that make a big
difference? Preferably long and with a beautiful sunset, if you can make it happen.
Short would be okay, but the sand is not my friend. It just doesn't run in the blood. Catherine, can I call you Kathy?
I would prefer not.
Okay, now that we've established that, let's move on. Catherine, yesterday we spoke, and one of the things that prompted me to reach out to you was your book, Be Your Own Hero. And we wound up spending not a short amount of time talking about its application, not only to prospective residents and family members, but also for us that are inside the industry. I had mentioned to you, I really had wished that I had read it prior to going through some life-changing events involving my parents recently, and I think you had had similar experience. But I wanted you to maybe explain a little bit to our listeners about the book, the premise, and its application.
Thank you, John. You know, it's funny that you mentioned going through this with your parents as an insider. We talked a little bit yesterday just about that really doesn't make it any easier when it's your own parents. This book really was a need that I saw as I worked with hundreds of families that were going through the decision process. And as you know, and many of us know, it's often a result of a crisis or an emergency. It's a topic people don't discuss really until they have to discuss. And then they don't really know where to start or what they should even be looking for or what services provide what. So I wanted to make something that was hopefully going to get people to be proactive, have a conversation, whether they need the services or not, but really just take the time to understand what's available. So if they need it, they know where to look and what direction to go. But also I was recognizing that people aren't prepared for the emotions that this type of decision elicits. So whether a family member, the resident or the prospective resident, and even the staff members, especially if they haven't worked with people going through this type of decision before, we get so excited to sell our beautiful buildings, and we don't understand what it means for someone to have to make this type of decision. And so I wanted something that spoke to the senior making the decision, the family member supporting them, and then to the professional that is supporting them through the process. And it's meant to just help that professional understand how they can best serve them through this decision process with validating their concerns, their feelings, their desires. It's just really meant to be a resource for all three audiences.
So Catherine, yesterday you had also mentioned that, there's a lot of value for frontline employees, particularly those, whether they're in sales, and I wouldn't call those necessarily frontline, but individuals that are relatively new to this industry, new to
working with the elderly population, their families, and new to really working through emotions. I'm a huge proponent of emotional intelligence and its place in this industry. I think the more sensitive and the more aware we are of the emotions that the family members are going through and that we ourselves experience. I just real quick, as an anecdote, I was doing a training on emotional intelligence for about 50 or 60 nurses, and I was really intimidated because I don't have any clinical background. And I started off by asking, how many of you have had any kind of training in emotional intelligence? And four hands went up. I remember because I counted them out loud. And the vast majority of the frontline folks, the caregivers, the nursing staff, the sales folks, that's something that I think as an industry we've shortchanged them on, is understanding that, because they all deal with emotion on a regular basis. Even I was talking to executive directors, and how many of you, you know, get yelled at once in a while by a family member who's upset about something and are equipped to deal with that, understanding where they're coming from and also how you're responding. But this book, it kind of speaks to those folks as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And you bring up some really valid points with the emotional intelligence, because if you think about it, a lot of our staff and employees, they do come from different backgrounds. I think, you know, I always say I fell into senior living by accident. I've realized it was by luck as I got further into my career. But our resident, our customer, our clients, if you will, most of them come to us because they've experienced some form of loss. There's something in their life that isn't working well. They're experiencing change. And we see them, you brought up this point yesterday that I loved, is we see them at the point they walk through the door. So everything prior to that, their whole life prior to that, unless we are curious, unless we care, unless we take the time to understand what got them through that point of walking through the door, we can't fully serve or assist them in what they're going through at the time that they're having to make decisions. And once they do move in, for all the frontline staff, for all the team that is providing those services on a day in and day out and becoming really an extension of their family, if they don't understand who this person truly is and what it is that they're grieving, what it is that they're going through as they make this major change, they're not going to be able to serve them and take care of them and provide for them and be stewards over their quality of life as well as they could be if they do understand it.
And we talked a little bit about the movie Up yesterday, and I incorporate a 7-minute clip when I'm talking to staff about our impressions of residents, and especially, you know, folks, again, new to the industry, the first time they meet a resident, they're older, they've gone through so much in their life. Many of them have been through something traumatic, whether it's a health event, loss of a spouse. And in this clip that I use to illustrate this point, it shows, you know, the span of, 60, 70 years of life, maybe longer, maybe closer to 85. And it does it with no dialogue. It's just some music that kind of goes along with what you're seeing, and the ups, the downs, the joys, the pain, you know, everything that this individual, this couple has experienced over the course of their life together. And at the very end, you see the older man, the senior, walking back through his door. And that's the first time many of our staff members see our residents. And a lot of the times, that's where their impression of this resident stops. It is, the, you know, and at this point, of course, in the movie, he's very grumpy. He's very, he's not very pleasant because he's been through all of this pain, all of this ups and downs, and now he's suffering tremendous loss. But sometimes our staff freeze there, and their whole, you know, impression of Mr. Jones is this grumpy old man walking through the building. They don't have that background, that history of what made Mr. Jones, Mr. Jones. So I couldn't agree with you more about the importance of getting our staff to understand. And how do we do that?
You know, I think there's really some simple ways. One of the, when you mentioned my book, it's really designed as a resource. I talk about some of the every chapter is about a misconception that we have adopted as a society, and then the reality. So just an easy example, you know, as long as I'm staying in my own home, I'm independent. And really, it's the reality is, as long as you're in an environment that supports your current need, you have the most opportunity and potential to stay as independent as possible. So, but with each chapter, I have questions that make you stop and think about, you know, not where do I need to be to stay independent, is what does independence mean to you as an individual? What does that look like? So taking the time to understand these questions that you can ask, and this isn't just for the sales team that's, you know, meeting them for the first time. This is for anybody to be curious and to care to know, you know, what does that perfect day look like? How has, you know, losing your driver's license impacted you? What has life been like losing your spouse and your best friend of 40 years? I mean, it's those types of questions, those curious, open-ended questions that help us get to know. And the other thing, you and I talked about this yesterday, we spend a lot of time investing in training our sales teams on how to work with prospects and family members in this decision, and not enough, but we do spend a lot of time and energy on that. And the reality is, we need to give that same time and energy to the people and the team members that are spending every single day with them inside their apartments, inside their homes, becoming part of their family. And that would be your frontline staff, your servers, your care providers, your nurses, your maintenance team, the housekeepers, all of those people that become an extension of their day-to-day life should be taught how to have those conversations as well, and why it's important.
You know, it's interesting. To me, it's really telling, because you, as an expert in marketing and sales training, when we spoke earlier, you had mentioned the importance of the salesperson or the marketing rep being in a position and being comfortable enough to hand off to some degree that contact, that relationship with the resident or the family member to the rest of the staff, so that they can go out again and build more relationships. And a lot of the times, you know, if the staff isn't engaged in their role in the sales process, not only for prospects touring, but also for new residents coming in, that their role is to now establish genuine relationships with them, so that they don't keep going to the marketing and salesperson with problems or concerns, or, you know, just for that relationship, that there are other relationships beyond that, and that has to start right away. A lot of the times there's hesitancy there. Certainly I understand it from the operations folks, the frontline folks. A lot of times in our community see the marketing and sales team as totally separate. You know, they're out there having lunch for free and throwing parties, and on Fridays they have a big barbecue and roast a unicorn and drink martinis. And so a lot of the frontline staff...
I want to work for you, John.
So a lot of these staff members, there's a disconnect. And so how, speaking from your experience and perspective, how do you break that wall down?
Well, I'll tell you this. For me, I look at senior living communities as twofold. So number one, we're running a business. And number two, we are the stewards over the quality of the lives of those people that live within our communities. And if you look at your team as a whole, not just the sales team, but you look at your team, it's the responsibility of the whole team. They are all agreeing to be stewards over the quality of lives. And so whether it's your maintenance team, your dining team, your sales team, all of us are helping them through this change in their life. And if I was a salesperson, and I don't disagree with you at all, because unfortunately I see this a lot, but if I was a salesperson and I was not introducing a new resident to everybody that was going to help with their specific needs and concerns with their day-to-day life, number one, I'd be undermining my team member who's there caring just as much as I am. But number two, I'm doing them a disservice. And I honestly believe those introductions start with the very first visit. And it can be as simple as when you're walking down the hall, introducing a prospect to, if you run into the maintenance director, this is the gentleman that you're going to call anytime you have a concern with A, B, C, and D. You know, if you run into the housekeeper, this is Samantha. She's going to be the one that every week makes sure that A, B, C, and D. So you're establishing not only who they call for what, but you're also telling them you trust your team. We're all in this together to make your transition as smooth as possible. The other thing is, when you're doing initial discovery, if you're truly doing initial discovery and finding out what's motivating them, what concerns they have, what questions they have, those are all things that you're preparing your team for when they come in the door. You've already let your team know that Mr. Smith is concerned about his TV and if he's going to be able to get it mounted on the wall. Whatever those concerns are, you've already taken the opportunity to give your other team members information that's going to allow them to start building trust and building that relationship.
So I agree with you for the most part, but seriously, if there's a problem with the chicken dinner, you do want that resident coming back to you as a salesperson, do you not? If the chicken is too cold, you got to be the first point of contact. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously.
But where is the John I was talking to yesterday? I want him back.
You know what? But that stuck in my head because you had mentioned patty cakes, and I'll let you explain a little bit about that. But there was a problem, with a meal, and that kind of escalated to almost the point of a resident moving out. And why don't you share that story with us?
Absolutely. Thanks. So, as I was sharing yesterday, we love and care for all of those that become part of our families and our communities. But there's always those ones that really just tug at your heart. And Patty Cakes was one of those. And I had worked with her for probably close to a year prior to moving in. And I had spent that whole year really never having met her. It was all over the phone, but having to build trust. And, I don't like it when people have a bad experience at a community. And I see sometimes where people get excited because a community is failing and they're going to get new residents. I always believe we have to work twice as hard to build their trust when that happens. And this was a situation with Patty Cakes. And so spent this year really working with her. She had had a lot of concerns about the food at this her current community, to the point where she just ordered in food from an outside food service, even though she was paying for it. And she got to the community. I met her the day she moved in officially. And within a couple weeks, she said, if I'm dreaming, don't ever wake me. She was so happy. She was so thrilled. And Patty Cakes had a strong personality. She could, meeting her, walking through the door at that point in her life, is the gentleman that you described. She was cranky, she was bitter, she was frustrated that she had to move from her, beautiful town she had grown up in her whole life. And she easily and quickly became that person that the team thought she just complains about everything. And they were getting frustrated with it. And she had been there a little over a year. And it was during COVID, I was in town and I stopped in to see how she was doing. And she told me, she said, I felt like you misled me, which to me was just a dagger in the heart for anyone to think I had misled them in a sales process. And she said, this isn't what I signed up for. And I asked her to share, and she said she had called down to the dining room to complain about the chicken. It was cold and hard. And the response she got from the executive chef was not a positive one. And she stopped going down to meals. And she just spent probably an hour giving me a laundry list of everything she was not happy about. And it was everything from the soap dispenser in the bathroom and how the soap smelled. And I just sat there and I listened to her, and she got really quiet. And she said, "You know, what I'm really the most upset about is I have a freezer full of crab cakes." And she said, "I used to throw parties all the time. I used to have these amazing social gatherings and make these amazing hors d'oeuvres. And I'm afraid if I threw a party, not one person would come." She said, "I don't have any friends here. I don't know anybody. Nobody knows me." And really, that was what she was struggling with. But none of the team had taken the time to get to know what it was she was struggling with. They all just took her at face value that she just always complains. And again, going back to taking the opportunity to say, "Help me understand, you know, why is this important to you?"
It's a difference between the explicit reason and the implicit. So the explicit reason for her being upset was the chicken, and the response from the chef, which is a whole nother topic we could focus in on. But being able to dive down, as you did, and find the implicit, the what's below the surface of the water, and what are the things that are meaningful to her that she's missing? What are the you know, the emotions that she's going through? And it's so interesting. I love crab cakes, by the way, so I would love to have been invited.
She makes great martinis too.
Well, and you know, patty cake, her husband Baker Man, as I understand it, you know, they used to be really good at baking cakes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, absolutely.
So but that, it's tremendous. And it's also, don't get me wrong, I think it's a skill, right? It's a learned skill and ability. To be able to talk to someone, to do so in a way that is really looking underneath the surface of the water. It's not easy a lot of times, and it's not quick. And maybe that's one of the reasons a lot of, you know, frontline staff, or even, you know, the chef, doesn't spend the time. They, you know, "I'm busy, I got to do this, and I don't have time to sit down and talk to Patty Cake about her crab cakes in her freezer." But if we're responsible for the quality of life for people in their end stage, you know, the last years of their life, wouldn't you want someone to take time, and not just the marketing rep like we're talking about? I mean, I would. I do. I hope that I'm in a place where someone wants to sit down and learn about what's going on in my life, or what has gone on in my life. I think there's so many things we can do as an industry to enhance the quality of life. And there are companies and communities out there that are doing this. I just think as an industry that we are late to the party in recognizing this important thing, this important fundamental aspect of human, being human. And I think during the pandemic, coming out of that, with all of the attention to the social isolation, you know, the grieving, the loss of being able to communicate with family or even touch and hold them, I think it really shone a light on the importance of those kinds of relationships. And if they don't have them with the staff, you know, God forbid there's a resurgence or, you know, another pandemic, then they just don't have those. They don't have those familial connections. They don't have those relationships. And that's tragic.
It is. And, you know, even when our residents have family members, I'll share a quick story with you that you just made me think of how important the staff relationships are to our residents. And part of it, you know what you said, it's hard to teach people. And we also need to give our staff permission to take the time to do it, not to spend all day, you know, in their apartment yakking away. But when there is a concern or they see a need, or to stop and say hi and ask how their day is, because we're so focused on efficiency and keeping people in the sales zone and all of those things. But just a quick story to shed light on how important those relationships are. I had a gal named Sue who she had moved into one of my communities. It was a newer community. And, you know, whenever there's a new community in town, the new shiny penny, everybody has to go check it out, regardless of where they're living. And one of the ladies at this community was moving, and she had talked a bunch of other women into moving to the newer community. And Sue was one of them. And Sue was just so happy to be where she was living. Every single day she came down for a glass of wine with the ladies. She would bring her dog through to the concierge to get a treat every day. I mean, she just had so many little routines within her new home and was so happy. And she had moved there because her doctor had told her, if you spend one more winter isolated and alone, I'm afraid, you know, how that's going to impact you, because she had been through a really difficult winter. And so she moved into an apartment into this community. Well, this other resident convinced her to move into a cottage home at this new place, which would have put her completely isolated and alone. And it bothered me for days, to the point where I was just up one night in tears, because I kept thinking, she cannot go back to being isolated. She's so happy here. So I went and talked with her one day and I said, I'm not trying to convince you to not move. Just help me understand, because, you know, and working with you and seeing how this community has positively impacted your life, I just don't understand it. And again, we talked through all these different, you know, surface issues. And she said, Catherine, I love going down and having a glass of wine and dinner with the ladies, but it's really hard for me to see all of their families come visit them when I have a son that lives right here and never comes and visits me.
Wow.
Exactly. I mean, it's sitting at that point, and how do you respond to that? You know, it had nothing to do with not having a garage or needing to be in a private, separate home. She had a really hard time seeing that her own son didn't want to come visit her. And we did talk through quite a bit about all the people, all of the staff members that had become a part of her daily family and daily life. And it didn't take away that pain, and it didn't make that any easier. But she had family there that did love her and was excited to see her every single day and celebrated with her and cried with her. And sometimes I think we forget the role that we play in that and how important that is to them in their day to day.
That's a powerful story. I had a similar experience, and the way I handled it is I just went over to the son's house and punched him square in the face. It got his attention, but, you know, after the lawsuit and everything, I just said, no, there's got to be a better way. And I think yours is better.
Yeah, I didn't have any lawsuits come after me, so that worked.
Yeah. Catherine, yesterday you had, it was an interesting phrase. It was a turn of a phrase. You said, there's aging in place, and then there's putting into place what's needed to age well. What does that mean?
Thank you for bringing that up. That is, well, we all have our pet peeves, and aging in place is one of mine. I'm a big believer that, you know, a senior living community isn't always the right answer. It's an answer depending on need. But we have focused so much as an industry and as a society on Band-Aids and, you know, trying to convince people that the best option for people is to stay at home, regardless. And there's a commercial for a home care company, and this is not to discount any services. Again, depending what the need is really, you know, where you focus your attention. But there's a commercial for a home care company, and there's three daughters standing around their mom. And they're talking about this care provider that comes in. And they said, we promised Dad that we would never make Mom move from her home. And I kept thinking, why didn't you promise Dad that you would always make sure Mom had what she needed? You know, it, because we pick homes throughout our life that meet our current needs. So when we're in college, we find that apartment downtown that's close to all of the bars and all of the action, and we get married, we have kids, or we settle down and we move out to the suburbs. We focus on homes that have good schools and good parks and, you know, low crime rate. And then kids go off to college and we downsize for homes that allow us to travel more. They're easier to manage. So why at this stage in our life are we digging in our heels and saying, this is the only place we can stay to have quality of life? Why aren't we saying, what do I need to have in place? What type of environment, whether it's bringing support in, living in a community, what do I need to have in place to continue living my best life and providing the support that I need as I need it? And that's where I feel like, even as professionals, it's, I'm sure you've seen independent living communities that feel like assisted living communities, because it's much easier to say to someone, oh yes, you're independent, versus having a conversation that really is going to help someone be as successful as possible because they have the right support in place. And so it's taking the time to really understand what isn't working in a current situation. What do they need to feel like they're living their best life? And how do we best support that? And sometimes it is just bringing in additional help. And sometimes it is like Sue, who needs to have people around her, or she gets incredibly depressed. So it isn't just about we provide three meals a day, we provide housekeeping. It's about what does this person need to continue to thrive?
I've never thought about it like that, but you're right. At different stages in our life, it's rare that we anchor into one place, one home, apartment, whatever, and just say, I'm never moving again. And I understand, as we get older, there are a lot of other considerations, but one of them has to be, is this the right environment for me at this stage in my life? And just listening to you is like, we moved, when we got married, and then we moved into a place that was bigger for us. And then we moved because we had kids and we were thinking about them and what quality of life. And then now we're on the other side of that and we're thinking about, is this too much house for us? Maybe we should, look at downsizing, and that way we can free up time to, instead of repairing things all over the house, which, by the way, I have a list 2.5 pages long on it. But you're right. And why is it that when, we assume when someone is in their later years and going through this kind of a transition that, moving is not an option now? Why?
I don't understand that. And I went through this with my own family. My grandfather passed away and my mother moved out to the farm, 3 hours away from her family so that my grandma could stay independent in her own home. And they both sat there and declined for 6 years. And it both would have had a better quality of life in a different situation. But the interesting thing is my mother trying to maintain my grandmother's independence lost all of hers. She wasn't able to go to kids' graduations, grandkids' graduations, different things because she had to be there for my grandma 24/7. And so that's when we're trying sometimes to support this false sense of independence, how is it impacting everybody else's true independence? It just little things to think about. And I don't know if you've heard this, I'm sure you have, but how many times you're working with seniors or their kids and they say, well, mom's still managing just fine in the house. Well, life isn't meant to be managed. It's meant to be lived. And so is this current situation allowing her the best quality of life? Or is she just managing? She still knows how to get up and down the stairs and, those types of things. So just something to think about when I talk with professionals, because sometimes we ourselves get stuck in that idea of they need to age in place.
I think that that's phenomenal advice. And, I'm sitting here taking notes because I think this is great. I got to tell, my family about this. I need to tell my colleagues because this is, when we talk about practical application of some of the things we're talking about, one of the things that we chatted about briefly was, how the back doors is important as the front door. So maintaining or retaining residents, you have to put equal importance on that as you do on getting new residents in the door. And I think a lot of what we're talking about, whether it's emotional intelligence, it's getting to the root of a concern or a problem, it's understanding the depth of the life that our residents have had and expressing interest or concern or sympathy, compassion for the residents. I think that's critical, and I think that all plays into making sure that folks aren't moving out because they just don't feel heard, or they don't have friends to invite over to a party to eat those crab cakes. The other and one other practical thing you'd mentioned, in terms of getting your staff engaged in the sales and marketing process, you mentioned a community or maybe it was a company that literally took the move-in fees and shared them with the staff or divided them equally to the staff. I thought that's great. I mean, what a practical thing to do to get the staff engaged in marketing and sales, also to let them know how important they are to the process. And I took that and I'm going to steal it from you.
Well, thanks. Yes, that was a company that I helped develop from ground up, and it was interesting to watch the ownership that the team took in the process. I remember, and we were still in lease up phase, and so it was my maintenance director and lifestyle director, and it was all hands on deck. I'm a firm believer in training your A team, and everybody should understand who the community is, the how to support someone touring the community. But my maintenance director, I had him do a tour one day, and he got a deposit and got two other deposits after that because how he did with on his tour. That family referred two other people to come to the community, and he didn't know all the details. They don't need to know all the details. That, is a conversation they can refer to your sales team. But to take ownership in the philosophy and the purpose and all of those things behind the company. And the other interesting thing that happened with that actually became a huge selling feature for our family members because they do know about staff turnover, and that is a concern. And to see a company that was investing in all of their staff and giving them all ownership in the process and ownership in making mom's transition the best it can be was really important to them. So it paid dividends, but and it was a simple, giving $100 to everybody on the team, and for some employees that might not really impact their budget or day to day, but for some of your frontline staff, that's a huge thing.
I'll tell you, I've been in the business for a little over 30 years, and $100 right now sounds pretty good to me. So
Well, I would take it. It would pay for like a quarter of my tank of gas and
I totally understand. Oh boy, I feel your pain. Listen, our guest today has been Catherine Owens. Catherine is the author of Be Your Own Hero. She's a keynote speaker. She's an expert on what we've been talking about, marketing and sales, and she's an excellent sales trainer. Catherine, if someone wants to get in touch with you or find your book, how can they do that?
Great question. My website is katherinelowens.com, not Kathy, Catherine, .com. And my book is available on my website. It's available on Amazon as well. But I usually provide it for a lot less on my website, just wanting it to get in the hands of people as a resource.
And of course, as your favorite podcast host, I'll be getting my complimentary copy in the mail. Catherine. I'm so sorry. That was total
slip. That's okay. I'm going to autograph your book as Johnny.
I'll take it. Let's not shortchange the fact that you have your very own brand of cigars coming out next quarter, so keep your eyes out for that. If you want to get a hold of Catherine, please go to her website, her book on Amazon. And Catherine, I just want to thank you and really appreciate your time today and the insights you shared with us. Very, very, very cool. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, John. It has been an absolute pleasure to have another conversation with you. I love just hearing your insight and your experience and wisdom and even your bad jokes.
I'll take that. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you for listening to Trinity Senior Management Insiders Podcast. For more information on Trinity Senior Management, please visit us at our website at trinityseniormanagement.com. Find us on LinkedIn and connect with us to find out how we are disruptively innovating the traditional model of senior living.